Hey everybody, how we doing? This conference committee on Senate File 1959, the Omnibus Veterans and Military Affairs budget, is now in session on Thursday, May 8th, 2025 at 9 a.m. Thanks everybody for being here. This is a walkthrough. We are going to all become completely familiar with the provisions from both the Senate and the House. We take no action today. We just listen to what both bills have, and our staff will go through these complicated documents with us to help us get to that point. First order of business, though, is we all got to say hi. So we're going to go around the table and everybody say hello a little bit. Give us a couple seconds about who you are, if you would, please.
Hi, my name is Ban Zivu. I'm the committee legislative assistant to State Representative Jay Zhang.
Good morning. Amanda Hemmingson-Yeager, representing South Maplewood and about half of Woodbury. I served as the co-vice chair for the Veterans and Military Affairs Division on the House side.
I am Bedell Duran, I represent District 2A. I am a Marine Corps veteran and first time on the conference, so I'm looking to learn a lot here. So,
good morning, Mr. Chair. Jeff Diebel, House Research.
Good morning. I'm Helen Roberts from the House Fiscal Staff.
Good morning. John Hultquist, one of the two Veterans Committee CAs for the House.
Good morning. Matt Bauman, DFL CA for House Vets.
Neil John J. Hyung, co-chair of the DFL Veteran Committee with Co-Chair Bliss.
Representative Matt Bliss, District 2B, co-chair of the House Veterans Affairs Committee, and I'm a Navy veteran.
I'm Eric. I'm chair of the Senate Subcommittee on Veterans and Military Affairs.
And I'm Nick. I'm the CA for the Senate Subcommittee on Military and Veteran Affairs.
Good morning. Tom Watson, Senate Counsel.
And Andrew Erickson, Senate Fiscal Analysis.
We do have two chairs that are still empty, two and a half, I guess, and that's Senator Gustafson and Senator Anderson. When they get here, they'll just hop in and join in with what we're doing. Our CLA, Keely Spence, is not here because I'm supposed to be in two places right now. I'm actually supposed to be in a tax committee right now. So if I get up to leave, I promised Chair Bliss that I would get up and storm out in rage. Just for the sake of drama, because there isn't enough in St. Paul. But what actually is happening is I'm going to have to sneak out and vote a couple times during the course of the morning. For that, I apologize. Members, our first order of business is, and our only order of business, is a walkthrough. So I'm going to turn it over to staff right now.
Mr. Chair, if I can begin the walkthrough of the spreadsheets. You have two spreadsheets in your packets today. I'll just briefly orient you to the more detailed version, which provides quite a bit more detail with respect to budget programs and budget activities, base levels of funding at the two agencies in the conference committee's jurisdiction, and then focus most of the time on the change item spreadsheet that I think is more useful in a decision-making capacity. The more detailed version is the one that is stapled. You'll find along the left side the agencies, the budget programs, and budget activities, including all funds for the two agencies. Along the top, you'll find two sets of columns for the 26-27 biennium, and then for the TAILS biennium on the right side, with columns showing for the February base, for the governor's position, and then expanded year-by-year columns for the Senate and House positions, along with a difference column. Turning instead now to the change item spreadsheet, you'll see largely the same format with the exception that the numbers that you see are only incremental change from the base. So I will just walk through the Senate position quickly and then turn it over to Ms. Roberts, who will walk through the House position. You'll see on line six an operating adjustment that is funded at the governor's suggested level for the Department of Military Affairs. That's $600,000 for the biennium. Going down to lines 14 and 15, you'll see operating adjustments also at the governor's proposed levels for veterans, the Department of Veterans Affairs programs and services, and also for the veterans' homes. The former is funded at $1,189,000 for the biennium, and the homes at $39.17 million for the biennium. on line 19, you'll see a 60,000 annual increase, 120,000 for the biennium, for an increase in CVSO grants, specifically for certain technical assistance coordinators. And then on line 28, you'll see a reduction of 60,000 in each year, a reduction of 120,000 for the biennium, for a grant to the Veterans Resilience Project from base levels.
Mr. Chair, members, again, I'm Helen Roberts from the House Fiscal Staff. For the House position, I do want to just state that the House targets were $5 million above the base for each biennium. For military fares, the House also includes the $599,000 for the operating adjustment, so they're the same as the Senate. And then the one difference for the Department of Military Affairs you'll see on line 11 is $2,000 per year. That's the estimated cost for a pension offset for National Guard ordered to state active duty, and that is an open general fund appropriation. Then moving to Veterans Affairs, you'll see on line 15, the House position includes $11.6 million for the operating adjustment for the veterans homes. Underneath that, you'll see $2.2 million for an increase in suicide prevention. This is in the Veterans Healthcare Program. There is a reduction of $10 million for the biennium for homelessness prevention programs in the services program. On line 18, an increase of $500,000 for the CORE or Lutheran Social Services Program. And then on right below that, on line 19, similar or same as the Senate position, the $60,000 per year increase for the CVSO grants. Then in addition, the House has a $500,000 for the Metro Meals on Wheels. And then the next five items underneath that are one-time grants of $1,000 each for Hometown Heroes, Camp Bliss, Veterans on the Lake, veteran mentorship for black youth, and then fishing with vets. Beneath those lines, you'll see beginning on line 26 that the House bill does not include direct grants for either Camp Bliss or the Veterans Resilience Project. Those were two items that were in the base. The House does not have those directly appropriated. And then underneath that, you'll see one-time funding of $118,000. This is for the Veterans of Secret Guerrilla Units Task Force. Moving on to the bottom of the spreadsheet, so you'll see that there was $4.4 million in direct changes for Department of Veterans Affairs. There's also one small change for an open general fund program. This is for education benefits for remarried spouses, and that was Chair Bliss's bill. So again, the House bill was $5 million over the base, and the total general fund spending is $319.7 million.
Mr. Chair, Jeff Diebel, House Research. I will walk through the policy article, number two.
It'll begin on R1. Section one on both sides of the side-by-side document are a piece of the agency's bill to Department of Veterans Affairs agency bill to grant them access to the MAXIS database so that they can confirm eligibility for veterans benefits that they provide. There are some minor differences between the House and Senate position, but nothing substantive. Moving to a House-only provisions of sections 2 through 4 on the right side of R1. These are from Representative Olson's proposal to provide members of the National Guard with a pension offset when they are mobilized to state active service as opposed to federal active service. On the bottom of page R1 are two identical provisions. This is increases the maximum bond indebtedness for the State Armory Building Commission. That's a longer section, and so we'll jump forward to R4 for the next section. And here this is the first piece on that, section 3 on the Senate side and section 6 on the House. These are, again, part of the MAXIS database bill from the agency. Moving down to the next piece, which is section 4 on the Senate side and section 7,
These are identical updates to the veterans burial statutes. Actually, both sections at the bottom of R4. Moving forward to R5, this is where the Senate and House proposals on granting veterans status to those who served in the secret war in Laos are presented, and they are similar, but there are some differences that will need to be reconciled within the conference committee, but generally they do provide the same benefits. It's just how they're delivered, and there's a slight difference in the Senate on who would be automatically eligible for those benefits. Moving forward to R6, you have a Senate-only provision on the left side. This requires veteran service officers to assist non-residents of their county if they have requested services in their own county and it's been 30 days since they've and they haven't been able to receive an appointment with their veteran service officer in their home of record. On section 8 is it appears to be a Senate-only provision, but this is a bit of an oversight on the House side. This is a piece of the proposal to increase the grant amount to the Veteran Service Officer Association for their technical assistance. We have this language in the House. It's the statutory piece that goes along with that funding, so that can be reconciled in the conference committee report. Jumping forward to R7, and the next two sections, beginning with Section 9 on the Senate side and Section 10 on the House, this is identical and permit surviving spouses, they're substantively identical, I should say, and they permit surviving spouses of service members who die because of their service-connected, service-related death, and they remain eligible even if they remarry after their spouse has passed away. So jumps forward to page R9. At the bottom is a second piece of both the Senate and House proposal to grant veterans of the secret war in Laos status and veterans benefits. This is the advisory task force piece. And again, there are some relatively minor differences in how the two bodies propose the advisory task force are comprised, as well as the scope of their work, but it doesn't seem to be on that topic to be insurmountable differences. And then finally, on page R11, the House and the Senate have substantively similar provisions that require the Department of Administration to place a plaque on the Capitol Mall in recognition of the sacrifices that Gold and Blue Star families had made. And Mr. Chair, that concludes an overview of the policy article.
Thank you very much, Mr. Diebel. Before we discuss the walkthrough for however long as we need, I'd like to give a moment to Senator Anderson and Senator Gustafson to introduce themselves real quick, if you would mind.
Good morning, members. Senator Anderson. Sorry I'm late, but I was in a snowstorm of cars.
Good morning. I'm Heather Gustafson, and I was late because I, this time of year, realize how much I don't know where all the rooms are in the Capitol. So thank you.
Apologies were not necessary, but they're appreciated nonetheless. All right, members, do you have questions, comments about the walkthrough that we've seen to this point? Seeing none, members, you know that we are in a bit of a situation right now as the points of discussion or the issues that need to be resolved most between the two bodies all pivot on a budget target. Since we do not currently have a budget target, our intention now is to recess to the call of the chair because hope springs eternal. And on the odd chance that we do get a budget target in the next 10 minutes, we want to be able to come back and have some talking about it. So that's my intention, is that we'll recess now. And if by some tremendous pixie magic, we get a budget target, we'll come back today and talk a little bit more. But until then, the committee is in recess.